Live from the MTS Center press box is the Legal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. Drew Mandel chose to go to the game with his lovely wife tonight, so I'm your host for this evening, Michael Remus, and I'm here with Richard Pollock. The Winnipeg Jets were defeated 3-2 by the Toronto Maple Leafs here at MTS Center in a capacity crowd that showed quite a bit more energy than they did Tuesday night against Florida. This was a game coming off of that, it was a win on Tuesday, but the Jets really didn't show much, and they really needed to come out and have some more energy tonight, and that really didn't happen, did it, Richard?
No, Michael, yeah, that's exactly right. They had to come out and have a more inspired play than they had on Tuesday against Florida. I think they were lucky to get a win. Both teams were fairly uninspired, but tonight was more of the same against a team that came out and played a little harder, I thought, than Florida did on Tuesday, and you could argue whether or not they're better than Florida, but in any event, there was a lack of passion on the ice tonight, I thought. It was going through the motions. You know, you look at the crowd being into it only for small portions of the game, and you can't blame the crowd because there was nothing to get excited about. So the Jets, you know, it's kind of as if they knew they were going to lose the game while they played it. And, you know, when you think that way, that's what happens.
There's not much action in the first period. The big event of note was the fight between Thorburn and McLaren. The Jets didn't have any lineup changes while the Maple Leafs threw out Orr and McLaren, who were both known fighters.
And both Winnipeggers. And I think that's the most important part, Michael, is that, you know, they're both fighters, and actually they both played pretty well in their limited action, about 4 minutes each tonight. But both Winnipeggers, Randy Carlyle, you know, Fraser McLaren came through town last year, and Todd McLennan didn't play him. And Randy Carlyle, you know, obviously with Winnipeg ties, but Randy Carlyle, classy guy, put both Winnipeg guys in the lineup. Huge for them to be out there, you know, in their hometown, playing in front of friends and family. And I thought they played pretty well. Fraser McLaren, got tossed into an open gate.
Yes.
In along the bench, and he popped out, and he wanted to fight Thorburn, who hit him into the gate. And Thorburn obliged, and it was a pretty good tilt. And McLaren was cut, although he came back soon after. And, you know, I thought overall, the Jets really didn't match the physicality of the Leafs, and that was a factor. I mean, I thought the Jets' fourth line kind of just was whatever, and the Leafs' fourth line are certainly not talented skill-wise. Was forechecking, hitting hard, dropped the mitts a bit, and did more than the Jets' fourth line, I thought.
Now, there was some talk before the game that the Jets, they didn't change up their line, that maybe they should have thrown out Anthony Peluso, who hasn't yet to play a game this season. Do you think that should have been an option?
Before the game, I would have said, oh, whatever, you know, he's not going to make a difference. After the game, maybe it would have done something. But, I mean, if you're in big picture, and you take a look and take a step back, and you say, if we're determining whether or not an Anthony Peluso appearance is going to be making a significant change for the team, then there's a fundamental problem with the team.
Right, so in the first period, the Jets led 7-5 in shots, and the first goal didn't come until the second period when Zach Redmond scored his first of his young NHL career and assisted by Brian Little, shorthanded.
You know what? Little made a nice play. Redmond read the play. He jumped in when he saw the turnover. And Redmond pops up and gets the puck on his off wing. Little was going on the right side, passed over to Redmond on the left side. Redmond's a right-handed shooting player. Took the puck and put it on glove side on Reimer, who's overcommitted just a little bit. A nice shot. And, you know, good skater, Redmond. Good read on the play. Little, I thought, was probably the best Jets forward tonight. And you take the lead 1-0.
Redmond played 24:04, which is quite a bit of minutes for a guy who's playing his third NHL game. One assist, was even with two shots. Brian Little, 21:50 of ice time. Oh, yeah, sorry, Redmond had one goal, right. Brian Little, 21:50 of ice time with two assists. He had one of his better games. I actually like Brian Little a lot more since they moved to right wing. I feel like he's able to utilize his speed a bit more.
Yeah, he looked more confident kind of this year, I've thought. You know, overall, I don't think his game's really changed too much. Maybe looking to shoot a little bit more. But yeah, Michael, I thought he's played pretty well this year. You know, the competition he has not been, you know, the competition on the team in terms of who's been the best forward certainly hasn't been
right.
Fierce. But, you know, maybe the best of the worst tonight.
Yeah.
He played well. I don't want to take anything away from him. The other players on the team were lacking. I mean, did Ole Jokinen play tonight?
I don't know where Evander Kane has been the last few games. I read that he's shooting maybe half as many times that he shot last year.
Yeah, and this is the one thing, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more on Saturday. That would be a good topic to talk about on Saturday, is Evander Kane tried to change his game a little bit too much, and then by changing it, does he take away from his strength? And, you know, it's like a team that trades a defenseman for a forward, and then by getting the forward, they create a hole in the back end. And if that's the case, And that's a problem. So he needs to get back to fundamentally to what he does well.
Evander Kane played 20 minutes, 35 seconds tonight, had 7 shots on goal, but I can't really think of any of them that were really very legitimate scoring chances. It seems to me he's staying, you know, to the outside, not really going to the net and shooting from maybe between the blue line and the top of the circle.
That's a fair point. I thought he had one nice shot maybe at the top of the circle going from our right to left. But yeah, Michael, I thought overall you're right. And I also think the Jets' puck movement tonight was atrocious. How many times did you see 2 passes in a row?
I thought the last game against Florida, there was a period front in the second period, 8 minutes left, where they were passing. They had really good movement through the neutral zone. They'd maybe make 2 or 3 passes in the neutral zone and then have really nice break-ins. But you didn't really see that at all for them tonight.
You didn't see anything tonight. Now, having said that, I thought that the Toronto team overall was more aggressive, and I think maybe that's a factor, that the Toronto team pressured them a little more and the Jets weren't able to conjure up any form of, you know, consistent puck movement.
In the second period, shortly after Zach Redmond made it 1-0, Paul Postma had the puck around the blue line and was poked away by Tyler Bozak, who took it in on a breakaway on Pavlik and had his 3rd goal of the year.
Postma protects the puck on the middle of the blue line instead of just getting rid of it. You know, he doesn't skate badly for a big guy, but Bozak was pressuring him quickly, and he tried to shield the puck. Bozak tipped it up and knew he had daylight. Remember, Postman's got to know he's the last man back there. Don't fiddle around too much. And Bozak hits the puck, and then he just beats him in a race, and he goes all the way down the ice, and he picks corner, and Bozak looked good tonight. I thought Bozak was really good. You know, a guy who can put a puck in the net like that when it really is a pass-first player is something that the Leafs have to feel confident about. So I thought that was, you know, a really bad turnover by Postma. Turn it over soon after. Again, he did the same thing, but give credit to Bozak there too. And a Saskatchewan boy, so that's got to be a nice game for him tonight. First star.
I thought Paul Postma struggled tonight. There was another play where he let a guy get around him on a breakaway.
He
only played 16:58 on the power play. I mean, sorry, in the game, 16:58 minutes. So that shows you what the Jets coaching staff thinks of him compared to Zach Redmond, who also came up in the Ice Caps this year.
Good point.
Next goal is in the third period. Yeah, Andrew Ladd on even strength, assisted by Grant Klitsam. Klitsam, I thought he's really shown, he's got a really great shot this year. It's one thing that he's shown me.
He's got a good shot and a good one-timer, and he got that puck off, and Ladd did get his, well, we weren't sure about that. Ladd got his stick on it in traffic there, a couple bodies, and, you put a puck on the net to get a goal there. I mean, I thought Ladd's game overall wasn't great, but you can put a puck behind the tender and have a bad game and still get a goal. I think that's obviously productive. And Klitsam putting the puck on the net. Again, the Jets had 25. I mean, they only had 18 shots against, but they only had 25 shots for again. Playing at home, you can put the puck on net a little more often. Look what happens. Drew and I said it after the Florida game. Put the puck on net. See what happens.
Klitsam played 12:27 minutes tonight. Ladd 20:42. That was Andrew Ladd's 4th goal of the year.
And one thing to keep in mind, Michael, is, you know, you mentioned Redmond and Postma. Well, you see Klitsam's minutes too, and I think what you're going to see eventually, and I think would be the right move, and is the move to make, is Bogosian and Buffon may come in together, and then Postma and Klitsam come up.
14:58 into the third period. 14:58 into the third, Matt Fratton ties it up for Toronto.
You know, I say the side because you kind of felt like the goal was coming. Fratton was really playing well, coming down that right side with that great wrist shot, and the Jets were closing on that wrist shot fairly well. But on that play, Cody Franson, who I thought played a really nice game tonight, put up hard pass. It was a, kind of a shot pass, as they call it. Gretzky used to do a great shot pass. And Franson came down the side of the blue line and put a hard kind of shot pass. And Fratton, coming from the left side, curling in, tipped it in. So blown coverages, sure, but give credit also to Franzen for the play and Fratton for the tip.
That's Matt. We're talking about this off air. That's Matt Fratton's 6th goal of the year.
6th goal in 8 games, I believe it is. Remember, he started the season in the minors. A guy I like, a guy who tried to watch tonight, and a guy who really proved himself. I thought that Bozak was the best Leafs player, best Leafs forward for sure. Fratton was 2nd. Looked really good.
And this was the big story game tonight for the Leafs. Phil Kessel had yet to score a goal. Now the game's tied 2-2 in the third period. Alexei Ponikarovsky takes another penalty, holding. And the Leafs go on the power play, and Phil Kessel has room in the Jets' offensive end, you know, near the slot, and he snipes one over Pavlik.
He missed a good chance earlier in the game, and you thought, okay, I mean, come on, he's due. And obviously he was due. But another thing to take into account, Michael, is on that particular play. And you mentioned Andrew Ladd earlier. Andrew Ladd on that play didn't put the puck down the ice when he had a chance at his blue line. And what happened was he didn't put the puck on the ice. The Leafs quickly turned around in transition, got the puck immediately to Kessel. well, he was a trailer on the play. I believe Bozak started that play. And Ladd really would have been on that part in the ice where Kessel shot from, and Ladd was already removed from the play. So Ladd really wasn't his finest moment there. And Kessel, he'd given too many chances with that wrist shot down the wing, and he buries the top corner. I'm not sure exactly where it went, but it was a great, great wrist shot. And, you know, you give him so many chances, a guy like that's going to score because he's getting shots. He just hasn't got the luck. So puts the puck on net and with authority. I mean, that's not a guy, you know, him and Fratton, Leafs are dangerous there with those shots. Two guys with great shots. But, you know, I want to quickly talk about the fact that the momentum and the feeling in the arena, but especially on the bench, just lifeless after that second goal. It was almost as if everybody was waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it did, and it was as if it was expected. And I said this before we got onto the podcast on air here. When you have a mindset like it's good, like you're gonna, you know, you're probably gonna lose the game, then you lose the game. And there was nothing out there on the ice tonight to inspire any confidence in me or anybody else, as far as I'm concerned, that the Jets expected to win that game inside their own room.
Now, I don't know if it's because they're missing Dustin Byfuglien and Bogosian. Obviously, that's a factor. But the team has played against Tampa. They lost 8-3. Florida, they won 3-2 in overtime, but they really played same as they did tonight, where they lose 3-2. So the Jets really on a streak of playing pretty uninspired play.
Well, we just tweeted it out. I don't usually tweet, but I took the Legal Curve Twitter while Dave was away getting audio in the Jets' room. And two regulation wins in 10 games. Don't try and convince me playoffs with that kind of record. I think that says it all.
If you can't win in regulation, there's no way you'll be able to make the playoffs. And at this point in the season, we're almost a quarter through, where you want to look at maybe trading away some players at the deadline and going for that a higher percentage for the number one pick.
And yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. No, but I guess there's questions here, right?
Yeah.
The question is, you know, with like Ponikarovsky or Natropov on a one-year deal, you probably have more of an ability to trade him. But a guy like Jokinen, can you trade the second year?
That's a good question. Well, it doesn't get any easier for the Jets. They're playing Ottawa on Saturday at 1 p.m., Tuesday against Philly at 7, and Friday against home against Pittsburgh at 6.
And Sunday at home against Boston, and then you're on the road. So say goodbye to any form of an easy schedule. I mean, this was the easy part of schedule, Michael. 10 games through. You had a nice stretch there where you could have done some damage. A 3-game road trip against not great teams, although Tampa's a really good team. And I like Montreal, so not great teams, though. I think still a step below, you know, Boston and Pittsburgh. You're playing them now at home. You're desperate at this point. You could be out of the playoffs, you know, in 2 weeks if you have another bad stretch or continue the bad stretch you're on right now. See you later. Catching up in this league's hard. Catching up in a 48-game season is almost impossible.
Time will tell what will be the story for the Winnipeg Jets this season. Hopefully they can get back Byfuglien and Bogosian soon, because clearly they need them and they need some kind of spark to ignite this team.
Yeah, you know what? I think a closer examination of the squad Saturday morning is probably necessary, and we'll delve deeper into it. But yeah, I agree, Michael. I mean, they obviously desperately need those two players, but again, as I said off air, I mean, Jason Spezza and Jared Cowan are out. You don't see the Senators using that as a huge excuse.
That's it for the Legal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. Stay tuned Saturday from 7 to 10, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. will be the Legal Curve Hockey Show. We'll be going way more in-depth on the Winnipeg Jets season thus far and looking ahead on the Jets season.
Looking forward to it.
So for Richard Pollock, I'm Michael Remus, and this is the Legal Curve post-game podcast.